This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia!
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard won Shorefoot and or Calder Kilday.
Very good. Now, what's the rhyme for Calder?
Oh, yeah, Calder needs a rhyme.
You're back in the hot seat, cold seat.
Feeling overwhelmed, coming up with a rhyme about a helmed.
Yeah.
It's all right.
He's back.
Not
He's
bad. Back. Okay.
And then, of course, Emily Axford.
Feeling incompliant about these fucking fire giants. Calliope Petrichor.
Now, that's how you do it, Jake. That's how you do it.
That's the rhyme. Okay. Yeah. I was out of practice.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take it again.
Yeah. Fuck.
Two characters, two rhymes. Yeah.
Yeah. Two tries. No, totally. Totally. Yeah. Calder Kilday is having a silly day.
Yeah. No, I like that one.
Calder
like
died in the helm.
Good.
And then, of course, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Oh, born in Esri, the pole of a tatty, trying to roll 20s and making them natty, all to impress my sweet little bratty. It's Saul Buffo.
Yeah, yes. Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And I get three more tries, right?
Brad and Braun. And actually, before we go to a recap, before we talk about anything else, we have to make a big announcement. We have a big show on October 7th in New York. It's going to be huge. It's our fifth anniversary show. That's what we're billing it as. Mm-hmm. There's going to be live music performances of M's compositions.
It's going to be so cool.
From the campaigns. There's going to be characters from different campaigns. We're going to kind of jump around.
We're going to see them all.
Seeing all of your favorite characters. It's going to be our biggest show ever. It's in New York on October 7th. Tickets are not on sale yet,
even announced yet. This is a sneak.
They're not announced yet, but they're going to be formally announced on Monday.
Yeah.
Formally announced on Monday, on sale on Wednesday.
That's how big a deal this is. We have to formally announce and then they go on sale. Yeah. We have to follow the rigmarole and the protocol, you guys.
That's right.
We don't want to get in trouble and we want you to have a good time at the show. So come so we don't get in trouble.
Be on the lookout for that. But it is October 7th, a big New York show. So check that out.
Big.
NADPOD.com/live. Tickets will be on sale next week. Anyway, let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Yes.
So last time, you clung to the bronze serpent as it burrowed towards Gromdahl Bronzebeard in the Iron Deep dungeons. You battled possessed rats that you insisted weren't possessed, along with the two Bronzebeard siblings.
They were pre-possessed to attack us.
Oh,
thank you.
Perhaps. Without their hiding spots, you quickly disposed of Branra and Mortis, sending them off into the caves. Finally, Callie completed her pacifist run and quelled the beast's rage, dispelling Gromdahl's control over it for the time being.
Emissary of peace.
Yes. After Emissary of Beasts, really?
Stop. Like that is absolutely what it is now.
After being infused with starfire, the bronze serpent shrank to familiar size and you received a visit from Oberon. He warned you that the serpent could not fully ascend until Gromdahl Bronzebeard's magical bond to it was broken. You resolved to protect the beast, who would join you on the next leg of your quest towards Malskurial, the fire giant city where Calder and Jaina are currently held captive.
Mm-hmm.
That night, you set up a Liamun's tiny hut and conversed with your fellow adventurers, Saul and Swag, bonded over their shared history of betrayal with Mothership, and entered a twin meditation that allowed them to experience each other's lives. Hard One spoke to Kenna about his friends on the astral plane, reluctantly admitting that he missed them. Oh. Callie drew her mother's sigil on Calder's ice knife and made a quiet promise to her friend that she would get him back. The next morning, you said your goodbyes to Swag, who could not join you on the next leg of your journey without a fire suit. As you headed out towards Malskurial with the serpent leading the way, Callie felt a chill from the ice dagger. And from there, we cut over to Calder, who was whittling alone in the middle of a frozen frozen waste until he saw a distant figure. She asked if he was a jailer or a prisoner, and he said the latter, and she said she was the same. Removing her cloak and revealing the visage of a hardened dwarf warrior, she introduced herself as General Jaina Bronzebeard, and that's where we are now.
Right on.
So, Calder, yes. You are at your little campsite that you've set up, your shelter and bonfire. Jaina, this warrior with a huge magical warhammer on her back. She's got her white hair parted to one side, almost to kind of show off the battle scars that she has on the other side. And as she gets close to you, you see she gestures to the figurines that you're working with. Spell components? Are you making tiny constructs so you can escape?
I was... Yes. Yes.
So you're a wizard then? Great, just a quick teleport.
Fuck, okay. I have to come clean. I was whittling new friends. I was whittling little... General, I was whittling little toys of my friends, Your Honor.
All right. Yeah. We all pass the time in different ways. You see that she starts doing squats and goes, What's your name, soldier?
Calder Kilday. I come from the Frigid North, and I know you, General Bronzebeard. Are you doing the squats to keep warm? I can add more wood to the fire.
You see, she gestures to the hammer on her back, which seems to emanate a sort of fiery power, and she goes, "No, I'm quite warmed up. You know, I'm just staying limber. Just try not to waste any time."
Calder shuffles his feet for a few minutes and then feels awkward not doing squats, so he kind of starts doing them half-heartedly.
Yeah, you see Jaina eases up a little bit as you start squatting with her. Seems like she needs to be kind of active to keep, like, you're doing your thing that's helping you deal with the fact that you're captured right now, and she's doing her thing. You right. know what I mean? It's like, gotta prep. I'm still in this fight. I'm still doing this. And so she's doing her squats and stuff. And as you start exercising with her, she goes, "And Calder Kilday, what kind of prison have we found ourselves trapped in?"
"As far as I know, this is... It's the Helm of Ultras. Do you know it?"
You see she nods and she goes, I don't know his helm in particular, but Ultras is from before my time, but I've heard of him. I know that he once led the giants on some fool's quest to try to conquer Bohemia."
"Yeah, well, somebody, whoever defeated him, must have banished him into this helmet. I found it, picked it up, put it on my head, and then I spoke with him. We made a deal. Then I made another deal, a much worse deal, and I traded places with him."
"Okay. Do you know how long you've been trapped here?"
Calder tries to think how long he spent whittling those two little figurines, and he looks at the detail, and he says, "A few days, weeks, maybe. I'm not sure."
Yeah, you see, she kind of asks you a little bit about yourself and about your last adventure and where you were at and everything. And she confirms for you, provided you feel comfortable telling her this stuff.
Yeah.
But she confirms for you that she's heard of the stuff that went down in the Living Wood. And she goes, if you were there for that, I heard about the business in the Living Wood."
"Yes.
It's only been a couple weeks."
"I was there. I was there for that business."
"You killed an ancient dragon."
With some help. Yes.
From them." You see, she points to the figurines.
"Yeah. With a little bit of help from my friends."
"Okay. Well, I don't know exactly how I ended up here, but I was trapped by a giant as well. I was dueling Prince Ekdar of the Fire Giants. I was getting the best of him, and he used some device to trap me, some kind of demiplanar prison."
"Wow."
"But it was much smaller than this."
"Sounds pretty duplicitous. Not very honorable at all."
"Exactly. When you call for a 1v1, it should be a 1v1.
"Yeah, you're not allowed to cheat."
"Yes, but it's practically impossible to have a fair fight these days with all the magitech and trap you in a capsule, put you in a helmet."
"Helms and gems. What the fuck?"
starts doing burpees with you.
"Oh, yeah. Got it."
Goes down. As she holds a plank, she goes, I
thought I was going to be able to escape from my original prison. It was much smaller than this. But then I heard some kind of magical incantations, and I saw a flash, and then I was transported here. So I'm guessing this has more security, or is more difficult, or more likely Prince Ektar probably was too cowardly to try to contain me himself and handed me off to someone who he thinks could handle the job.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you that I've done more recon of this place, but I kind of just built a fort and started whittling as soon as I got here.
Day one, you were like, it's whittling time?
Yeah. I guess I just, it was comfortable to go back to my old ways. I didn't really even take a very big walk.
No, that's...
You see, before you said, I didn't even take a big walk, she was like about to hold her hand out to be like, it's all right, we all deal with it in our own way. And she's like, well, you really should have taken a walk, like just to scout around the place. It could be.
I know, I made a basket. Here, look, this is, I wove this.
Beautiful basket, much better than your whittling, if I could be blunt.
Wow, okay.
But I don't think you'd be able to get out of here without help. The only reason I might have had a chance of getting out of the last prison I was in was because of this. And you see she pulls out this massive warhammer from her back and shows it to you.
Wow.
Has this like orange bronze glow that kind of crackles with energy. And it feels hot near it. And you even see like the snow melting around her.
Is that the Queen's Hammer?
Queen's Hammer, King's Hammer, whichever you'd like to call it, but it's been passed down from the dwarves of old. It was forged by the god Moradin himself, and it can break through magical barriers.
I've heard of it.
Do you know where the barrier to this place is?
Calder looks over at like a sad little wooden table that he built.
All I know is that I would visit this place in my dreams, and I would fight Ultras here. There were times that he was behind bars in a cage. I don't know if that meant anything to actually getting out of here, if it was just a representation.
All right, well, let's go to where you think you saw the edges of this cage or this barrier and see if we can't get started trying to crack it down. We may need some help from the other side, but we won't know until we try.
Calder packs up his little wood figurines and breaks down camp.
Sweet, yeah. You guys get to work hiking towards where the barrier was keeping Ultras out. And with that, we are going to cut over to our other party, who is also on a little hike on the way to Malskurial. You see the little serpent, the bronze serpent, is burrowing its way, chewing through the mountain as you follow behind on foot.
Nom, 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 nom.
It just seems so happy.
Nom, nom, nom.
And after a long hike, you guys feel the temperature rise and you are sweating under your like protective suits. Oh. But eventually the serpent breaks through a wall of rock and crashes into a wide cavernous hallway. Everybody go ahead and give me perception checks.
Nat 1.
Amazing.
Good lord.
14.
9.
Okay. I'll say everyone except for Callie, I think you see the bronze serpent crash through the wall and sort of flop into the tunnel below, and you
He's
think
dead.
It's dead.
Gromdahl's got him.
Quick, get him more rocks.
What have I done? What have I done?
Yeah, you see, everybody else sees this like rock-scaled monster that is like damn near invincible, just like crashes into the ground and immediately begins slithering. But Callie's having a hard time seeing it as her eyes kind of adjust to the torches around.
I failed your mother.
But yeah, you see the serpent does get up. The serpent is fine. And Saul, you notice that the rock walls around you guys, as you enter this new tunnel, they're supported by beams, wood and iron. So you are no longer in the serpent's burrowing ground. This stuff looks to be made by humanoids, likely giants.
This must be enchanted wood for not to be burning this deep. This is serious stuff. This is well constructed.
Good wood.
If only Calder were here. He knows so much about constructing things. Figurines, tables, all sorts.
And down the one side of the hallway, you see darkness. And on the other side, you see a dim glow of orange. And you can hear like a low rumble, as well as you can't tell what they're saying, but you do hear giants like voices shouting.
Well, however we proceed, we should do it as stealthily as possible, because I don't think we're going to be able to disguise ourselves in any way that's convincing. So
yeah.
We should try and make ourselves as scarce as possible for as long as possible, I'm thinking.
I say we go towards the glow.
Go for the glow.
Go for the glow.
Oh, I actually have General Broadbeard has had me bring this with us just in case we ran into any giants along the way.
Oh.
She pulls out a bunch of earrings or kind of like earpieces, like little devices of Magitek. Mm. Normally it looks like a person would put in two to have like one in each ear. Mm-hmm. But you see she only has like two pairs. So she just passes one out to each of you guys to put in an ear. And she goes,
this will help you, is sort of like a comprehend language. So you'll, when you hear a giant, you'll be able to understand as if you understand the language. It's like a comprehend language specifically for one language.
And you said you just swallow it? Or?
No. In your ear. Stop eating.
Looks a little too much like a rock.
I know that I'm the squire, but can I, permission to issue a command, Mr. Shorefoot?
Yeah, go for it.
Stop eating weird stuff.
Okay.
I dropped it down my bra.
Dot. Also,
it's lost in my cleavage.
Okay.
Yeah, my ears are whole, so I put it in my nose.
Well, I guess I'll be the only one who understands stuff.
Also, does this help us to respond to them?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right, then. I guess I'll do Pass Without Trace.
Great. You guys cast Pass Without Trace, and as you go towards the glow, everybody go ahead and give me stealth checks. We'll do a group stealth check.
Nat 20.
Damn, dude.
Yes.
23 for me.
Okay.
I just got a measly little 36.
My Great. Nat 20 becomes a 33 with Pass Without Trace. A
couple of beyond 30s as... Hard one, and can I kind of clank behind.
A shameful 23.
Yeah. A lot of combat rolls from the two, for the sons and daughters of Iron Deep.
Hey, Hard One, can you get rid of some of those rocks in your pocket? I know you were saving them for later, but it's making a lot of noise.
I might need a snack, soul.
You see the serpent is just begging at Hard One's legs for more rocks.
Get your own. Fine, here, take one. So damn cute.
It's a rock. You guys sneak along, keeping to kind of the edges, and there are torches up here. You can assume that a lot of the giants might have dark vision, but you know, these are getting near like the city gates and stuff, so you need to be able to see like further down the tunnels. You guys stay in the shadows of these torches as you go down this tunnel, and eventually you see a black iron gate that takes up most of the huge hall here. It looks to be guarding an entrance to the city. Beyond it, you can see the glow of fire or lava. And atop the gate, you can see a tall, lanky fire giant scout wearing like a metal skull cap. And in front of it, the main guard is a familiar giant in black plate, at least 20 feet tall. You see it's Jorb, the guy you ran into in the drill car before that you scared off. But you see he is intimidating a smaller, skinnier giant who's in front of the gate. The scout that's like on top of the tower is kind of just laughing like, yeah, get him, Jorb. And is just kind of distracted and talking up this bully. And you see that Jorb is intimidating a smaller, skinnier giant who is on his hands and knees picking up metal scraps that it looks like Jorb is kind of just like kicked out of his hands. You see that the little giant has long, bushy red hair, a puffy red goatee, and welder's goggles. You see he's got big gloves on and like an artificer's apron, along with like a large sack of trinkets that Jorb has just spilled out. And Jorb is pointing down at him going, "You're a disgrace to your kind, wimpsh. Out here playing with toys." You see the smaller giant scrambles. It's winch, not wimsh, and they're not toys, they're probes. They're for scouting. See, Jorb grabs one of the little probes and goes, "Is that what you're doing? You're spying on me, wimsh?" And Jorb has this little probe that's like white plated with like a little bubble camera and tiny treaded tires, and you hear it's making little sounds like beep 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 beep. And the skinny giant goes like, "Don't hurt Mouser, please don't hurt Mouser." And Jorb goes, "Sorry, can't allow any pests into the city," and crunches him.
Okay, nice. I feel vindicated about everything we did to Jorb.
crunches him and just takes his bag and is stomping on all of his shit.
Oh. No, please, please.
Oh, we gotta stop this. It's bullying, guys, come on.
I'll follow your lead.
Shit, okay, then let's go for it. Hard one chucks a rock at Jorb. Eat up, motherfucker.
Go ahead and make an attack roll with advantage.
24.
Go ahead and do your damage. That hits.
What kind of damage would you say a rock is?
Oh, a rock? I'll say D6.
D6 plus my strength, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I rolled a 6. 11 damage.
Sweet. You peg this rock at Jorb, hits him directly in the eye.
Oh, what the fuck was that?
Jorb throws down Winch and begins running down the hallway towards you guys. Everybody go ahead and roll initiative.
Okay. Shit, okay.
15.
21.
17.
At the start of the round, that is Saul. So Hard One basically got his off on a surprise round, hits this fire giant in the head. He angrily runs down the hall into the unknown. And Saul, you are waiting there for him, looks at you.
Oh, the fuck are you doing here, you little freak?
I just punch him right in the shin.
Okay, go ahead and make an attack.
21?
21 hits.
Second attack. 15?
15 does not hit.
Okay. 10 damage right there.
You pop out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. This dude sees you, kind of freaks out, is confused, looks over, sees Callie, and realizes it's kind of an ambush. You jump out and just, like, pop him directly in the knee and kind of hyperextends it.
Oh, God!
That's right. We didn't know that you were bad before, but now we do, and we're really going to go hard on you.
I'm not bad. You're bad.
Thank you. Did the other giant up on the tower see us?
He knows that something happened to Jorb, so you don't know what he's doing.
Okay, we got
to
make this quick then. I'm going to bonus action Flurry of Blows.
Okay, sweet.
That is going to be a 22 and a 21.
Both hit.
Great.
Okay.
16 more damage.
Nice. Yeah, I'll say that after having fought him before and kind of trying to stun him and trying to grapple him and things like that, you're finally kind of figuring out how to fight giants. And you're just down there just like punching him in his joints and like his ankle and the back of his knee and stuff. You see he keeps buckling and almost falling over.
Oh, God,
guys,
damn it.
I figured it out. You got to go for the tendons.
Oh, you just have to hit him.
Yeah, right in the bones and the tendons.
After Saul's turn, that's Hard One's turn.
Okay, I'll take two attacks with an axe.
Okay.
You said the tendons?
Uh-huh. Whoa, or a bone, if you find a good bone part.
You guys are friends with Wimpsh?
We love Wimpsh.
It's Winch.
What's that, buddy?
Winch, if you can hear us, come help.
Winch.
I prefer Mauser.
That's a
he's dead.
A 19 to hit, and I also crit.
Whoa, woo! Sick.
42 damage.
42 damage. Nice. Yeah, you fuck this guy right up. Saul gets up behind him.
Oh, and you know what? I think I might do a distracting strike. So I'll add my superiority die. Comes out to 45 damage. And now Callie has advantage on her attack against him.
Nice. Yeah, so I'll say you hit him once with like the head of the axe, then hit him with the butt of it, like right in the back of the knee. He buckles and starts to fall over. Setting him up for Callie. And Callie, you are next in the initiative.
Okay, I'm going to attack him too. 28 to hit.
28 for sure hits.
And the second attack will be 23 to hit.
Sick, yeah. You pull out the ice dagger. You feel the chill in your hand and stab into him.
So I'm going to do two smites, one flourish, 70 damage with a third level smite and a second level smite.
Christ. So Saul and Hard One absolutely beat the shit out of this dude as he wanders around the corner of the tunnel. And then Callie just comes out and stabs him just in like open flesh, like between pieces of armor. And he starts bleeding. What the fuck?
And
what
I have
the
an
actual fuck?
Extra 4 to my AC.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
We hate rats, but we love Mouser.
You shouldn't have been mean. You teased our friend Wimpsh.
it's Winch.
For Mouser.
There's no pee in it.
For Mouser.
Mauser!
Winch starts yelling.
We're gonna get Mauser back.
And next in the initiative, you actually see Winch runs over.
Yes.
And Jorb has already been like greatly injured. Winch steps in between Jorb and you guys and points to you guys and goes,
I declare them as my enemies. I get first chance to kill them.
Wow. You're talking to who?
Sorry, what?
Just
me?
No. Go with
him. Are you serious, Witch?
What are you...
No.
Are you really serious right now?
What are you getting at, dude?
Where is this even coming from?
I feel like we helped you so much. I'm just hurt. I'm confused.
I need to take a lap.
I'm hurt.
Let's take Mouser and run.
I'm fuming. I'm taking a lap.
Kenny goes, I think it might be a move, guys.
Really?
A move in the wrong direction of being a friend.
Yeah. It's a giant step backwards as a move.
Well, the only steps you can make are giant ones, but...
You see, Jorb is a mix of wanting to get out of this because you guys have more than 3/4 killed him. But also is so mad, so wants to take a swipe at you. So he's kind of holding his side, the wound that where Callie just stabbed him, and just like gets up on kind of wobbly legs after having been like slashed in the tendons, and starts to like push Winch out of the way. But Winch stands firm and goes,
"It's my job as an archivist to move our laws and tomes over to Magitek, so I think I know them pretty well. There's a penalty for stealing a kill. If you wanted to do it, you should have declared them right away."
I kind of want to finish the job, Winch. Well, is that okay if we keep attacking him?
See, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, but... If I declare you my enemy, you are protected for a certain amount of days, and no one can just attack you.
Oh, great.
Oh.
Okay,
this seems like a bureaucracy working to our favor.
This seems awesome. Like a deep, complex system of honor and laws and bylaws. I'm wondering, like, if we kick his ass and kill him after you declare that, is that going to make us look dishonorable?
Yeah.
Is that cool?
You see Jorb turns to the guy at the gate. Sound the alarms!
Oh.
There's more than one person here.
All right, let's pin this. We'll table this for later.
Okay.
Yeah, you see Jorb holding his wound goes,
"You're damn right. We'll table this for later. You're lucky as hell that you're declared, because otherwise I'd declare you dead."
Really?
"After 7 days are up, I'm going to get myself a bunch of friends and a bunch of huge magical weapons. And when you guys are sleeping, I'm going to come and I'm going to kick your ass."
Can I kick him in the shin one more time?
Oh!
I hide behind Winch.
Oh, hey, Winch, do you want us to pretend to be super afraid of you for 7 days? It could maybe boost your reputation around here.
That might actually be kind of helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to, like, tie us up and like parade us through the city, directly towards, like, you know, the king or the prince?
We don't actually have to do that.
You see, Winch pulls up a little data pad and shows a projection of some of the kind of bylaws of Malskurial and goes,
"You're welcome to enter the city as long as you're not from somewhere that's in direct war with Malskurial. And even if you are emissaries of Irondeep, you're free to enter the city peacefully so long as you're escorted by a representative of Malskurial, like a government agent, like an archivist, like me."
Okay, so you're Mal Security.
That's a way to think of it.
Okay.
Malskurial, Mal Security. Yeah, got it.
Right.
Jorb steps forward. "No, I'm Mal Security."
I smite him again.
You see Jorb is kind of happy to get out of this fight, so kind of leans back and yells up to the guy at the gate and goes,
"They got us on a technicality. Otherwise, we would have kicked these guys' asses."
Yeah, like we were a harmless robot or something.
You see, Winch picks up the crushed Mouser.
"Can you fix him?"
"You're going to be okay, Mouser."
"I think I can fix him."
Okay.
I lay my hands on Mouser, and I lay on hands.
Yeah, I'll say it kind of works like a mending.
You can have it do nothing.
I'll say that it doesn't fix any of the electronics, but it does like start sealing some of the...
Okay, I administer CPR.
Yeah. it starts sealing up some of the cracks, and Winch goes...
"Actually, that's going to make it a lot harder for me because I need to be able to get at like the stuff inside."
I meant where.
Okay, yeah, you basically, you fix...
I can breathe life into him. 1 second.
Okay, that's even less effective. At least she's
sort of curing
the shell. This is just, you're just getting saliva all over my little robot. Okay,
I'm just going to put this duct tape away. Clearly, you've got this figured out.
Yeah.
You see, takes Mouser and Callie has healed it. And I'll say, like...
For five.
You see that a lot of the cracks have healed up, so he's not crunched, but he's turned from, like, this robot that could go around to essentially, like, a stationary toy that instead of, like, these kind of quick, high beeps, it's just...
Beep,
Oh no, okay. I made another Falster.
Oh, Mauser, what did they do to you?
You guys are brought past the iron gate. You see the scout atop the wall begrudgingly cracks the door at Jorb's command, and beyond it, you guys see the bustling city of Mulskiriel. But first, Winch talks to you guys for a second and goes,
well, I'm Winch. Who are all of you? Where are you from?
Oh, Solbutho. We're all from Esri originally, I guess. Well, not originally, but I'm from Esri originally.
Great.
And then, yeah, Callie.
My name is Maeve Haypenny.
Callie Maeve Haypenny.
Wait, I didn't know we were doing nicknames.
I'm from the astral plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me an insight check.
Dirty 20.
You see, he is so fascinated and interested by that. I have so many questions. It's been my dream to go up and join all the heroes on the astral plane.
Anything you want to know, I'm going to have a firm answer to.
Okay, great.
I'm basically made of starlight.
Great. Why haven't we heard from Gladeholm officially in several years?
Because you haven't reached out. And that's on you.
Oh.
And that's a faux pas.
Okay. I actually have been building a teleporter trying to get up there, so I have been trying to reach out, but it's...
Okay, wait, I'm getting an answer. You're missing a crucial piece of the teleporter.
I am. How did you know?
Yeah, she communicates with the astral plane all the time.
Okay.
She's basically got them on speed dial.
I just feel like if we were going to do aliases, we should have talked about that beforehand.
Saul Buffo.
Yeah, by the way, Brad Daniels.
Brad Daniels.
God damn it.
Brad Daniels, Callie Maeve Haypenny.
Maeve Haypenny.
Just Maeve Haypenny?
Yeah.
Okay, he called you Callie just kind of for fun?
That's sort of like a term of endearment in the astral plane.
Really?
Yeah. Some people will call me Crunch Get'em, though, if you want to call me that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Hey. I don't get that one, Solemn. Solemn Buffo.
Hey, we're all Callies here, right?
That's right. Yep, we are.
Callie Pallies.
Callie Pallies.
Winch takes you in and continues to ask questions about the astral plane and stuff. Seems like very interested in talking to...
I give him all really confident wrong answers.
Great. Talking to people from... he's excited to talk to people from outside the city. You guys enter and you see beautiful buildings built of shiny, volcanic rock, moats of lava with big Magitek gondolas taking giant citizens from place to place. They're manned by these enormous sailors who dip these huge paddles into molten liquid. And since the giants are immune to fire, they're also to a certain extent just completely immune to being hot. So as strange as it may seem, surrounded by all this lava, the populace is pretty bundled up in cool armor and stuff like that. Like the dwarves of Irondeep, the giants are proud blacksmiths and artisans and stuff. So you do see a lot of gems and jewelry.
A lot of hoodies?
No.
Okay.
a lot of gorgeous armor. And you do notice that a lot of people are wearing black.
Are you mourning something down here?
Yeah, well, I don't know how I personally feel about it, but King Ralos died.
The prince's father?
The prince's brother. Prince Ekdar is becoming king. His coronation is tonight.
What happened to Ralos?
So, it was kind of mysterious circumstances.
True crime.
Okay, why don't we get to somewhere a little more private before we talk about it?
Yeah, do you have a cool workshop full of gears and levers and all sorts of tubes?
Oh, Callie, you know I do.
Good call, Callie.
Way to go, Callie Buffo.
Yeah, I just Callie like I see him, you know?
Wait, I don't get that. If that means friends.
Let's just keep walking.
Yeah, you walk along. And you do see occasional fire goblins down here. Ooh. You aren't the only small folk, but they are rare. So you do see, you don't stick out completely amongst the giants. You're very clearly not from here, but you can imagine that some other settlements and stuff that may be at war with Irondeep maybe went and aligned with the giants, or some may just be different fire resistant species that would rather live in a city than other parts of the cave. Or
I think I'm feeling quite affectionate about all the goblins we've met, so I try to make eye contact and be congenial.
Yeah, you see a little fire goblin wearing all black nods at you, Callie.
I nod at him.
Yeah.
Nice day.
Nice day.
It was just the king's funeral.
She said, "Have a nice day. Have a nice day."
Right, and I feel like the weather's conspiring to mourn him.
Yeah, she said, "Ice day."
Nice day for a funeral. is what I was saying.
Nice day to be sad because it's all so fitting.
Because when tragedy happens, you have to. You have to be grateful for the little things. And today, the day Bring being nice is the
Let's
only thing.
Let's give you a little hug. Yeah, we're going to give you a hug, Goblin. We're hugging.
Give me a deception check, Allie.
That's a 17.
A 17. You see the Goblin nods and goes, "Wow, you really love the king."
Are we wearing... Our armor isn't really black,
though.
Yeah, it is.
Though. Yeah, it's like black and red.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Great. Yeah, so we're mourning, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, where's the wake going to be? Where are you hanging out?
The funeral was this morning. There's going to be... the coronation is tonight, though, at the castle.
Are you going?
Of course.
Are you pre-gaming?
Am I pre-gaming?
Yeah,
pre-gaming? Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is kind of a party, so yeah, we will be partying tonight.
Where are you going to be pre-gaming?
Outside, just drinking outside the castle like everybody else. Outside of the gate. It's a tailgate. Yeah, it's kind of huge.
Do you have a cup? Do you have a cup for us?
Yeah, I can bring you guys cups. What are your names? I'm Ember.
Maeve,
nice to meet you.
Brad, this is Saul Buffo.
Saul Buffo, hey.
Some people call me Callie, I guess.
Okay. I'll just call you Saul.
Okay, Emma.
All right, we'll see you guys at the party.
I'll see you later.
All right.
You really have been a ray of sunshine
okay.
in an otherwise dark day.
Thanks.
Yeah, but a nice day all the same.
It's not well,
a nice
yeah,
day.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it's nice out in the cave that we're every day the weather's kind of the same.
Ember, any tips on not getting stepped on while we're here?
You know, bob and weave.
All right, can
Bob
do.
And weave.
Can
so
do.
Much.
Get at that. Yeah.
You see
Ember almost gets crushed.
All right, we picked a weird day. She tore the city, but you know what? My condolences. Long live the king, I guess.
Yeah.
It seems like mixed emotions. Like there are some people that seem kind of not happy about it, but some people seem like pretty devastated and some people don't seem all that bothered and are in fact talking excitedly about the coronation tonight. And
Is there any distinctive differences between the two groups?
Yes. Actually, you know what? Go ahead and give me perception checks.
Related or?
23.
17.
14.
I'll say you can't really tell any difference. It's kind of just like wild card of people who are upset about the king, and the people who aren't that upset about the king aren't necessarily like plotting against the city or anything like that. It's more just they maybe don't care that their like monarch died.
Okay.
They don't care.
Yeah.
But some of the people that are really pumped are saying things like, "Prince Ektar will restore the glory of the giants. I think he's got that fire in him." There's a lot of people that are talking about him having that fire in him.
Okay.
Back at the water park, we'd say you got that frog in you. I think this is a similar expression.
And there's not like a class difference. It's not like, oh, it looks like the aristocracy is like...
No, you know what? I would say it's a lot of younger giants and a lot of ones who are sort of peacocking with their warrior garb. The warriors that are wearing more sort of like... The traditional things that you would see a fire giant wearing aren't like speaking that loudly or being that like braggadocious, but people that are like, you know, they have like giant chainsaw blades or just, you
nice
know, things
armor
that are
without a scratch on
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. These things that are like kind of peacocking, those people are pumped about Prince Ektar, who seems to be based on kind of what you heard from Rictus, the giant who died, who you guys helped give kind of peace to. From what you've heard, this dude's kind of a hothead. So it would make sense that people would be some people would be kind of pumped about that.
Winch, is it uncommon for them to have the coronation that, like, day of the funeral?
Some would say it's a tad insensitive.
Yeah, it's a little tacky.
Yeah. So you see, Winch brings you guys over to a gondola, tips the gondolier, this, like, tall, lanky giant, who pushes off the dock. And dips into the magma with a long row and begins taking you guys down the river.
Damn, this is cool. It's like Venice on fire, right?
Yeah. Yeah, as you guys, I'll say...
Also, great place to blow glass.
Whoa. When should we go glass blowing?
One other person on the boat with you is blowing glass.
This is beautiful.
We should do, instead of a paint and sip, a blow and sip.
The lips get burned off instantly.
Yeah, there's just fumes.
I keep accidentally
right next
sipping
to you.
The molten glass.
It looks good.
Your lips are fused to it.
Is the worm drawing any attention? Or does it just kind of seem like a standard little pet down
here?
No
one would expect that the giant beast that was wrecking the whole mountain is like the size of a small horse.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Nobody's like, that's what's been causing all this trouble. Mm-hmm. The serpent is just going along with you guys.
Yeah.
I like your mouser.
Yeah, that's just kind of our mouser. Yeah. What is Mouser's job, by the way? Is it a drone?
Mouser's a probe. I actually have a bunch of scouting probes. That sort of was my job. Now I'm more of an archivist, but sort of what I do as a hobby is I like to build little machines so that I can see what's going on in the mountain and some areas outside of the mountain.
Mm. What have you seen lately?
Well, I've got some probes out on the mothership submersible.
What is that's interesting.
Wow, you learned anything interesting from those folks? I feel like maybe sharing a lot of things from the astral plane. So.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. It's only fair that, you know, I gave gifts from the sky. Give me some gifts from the sea, my man.
Okay, yeah. I can show you guys some. I can show you guys some of the things I've seen. I've been, at first I was sort of collecting it for the Malskirians down here, but they haven't been as interested in my devices. But I did find someone who has been really interested in finding out on what's going on with the submersible, and I actually just sent them a bunch of footage and everything. They're actually from Esri. Points to you guys.
Oh, are they? I mean, we're sharing a lot, but, you know, Maeve did, like, give you the skinny on the sky, so I'm wondering, like, who did you give this information to?
Well, they're part of, they said they're a part of kind of a rebel group, so he just had code name Boy Wizard.
Saul, like, shivers a little bit.
So we've kind of
the information is in good hands.
Yeah, they've been helping me out. We've been kind of sharing information. I've had some footage from the ocean floor down there and checking out the mothership HQ. Some of the powers that be down here are more concerned with fighting over the mountain and not as worried about what else is going on out there. And I don't trust Mothership and anything they're doing, so I personally like to keep an eye on them.
Smart.
I think that's a good move. I would say that we share the same hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I meant to ask. I'm sorry I haven't yet, but what brings you down to Malskirial? How did you get this far down?
Let's wait till we get to your workshop.
Right on, right on, right on.
Yeah, you guys get off the gondola, and Winch brings you to a small home on the edge of town.
So did the gondolier not sing at all?
It's a great question.
The gondolier goes,
it's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
So hot. I want to take my clothes off.
I follow the lyrics of the song, and then my skin Callie starts scalding as I take off my fire. Ow!
Oh! Yeah, Winch brings you
deceitful
to...
Deceitful music!
Never listen to Nelly.
Winch brings you guys to a small home on the edge of town. Like the other places here, it's built of smooth rock, but there's all kinds of clutter outside of the house, kind of half-finished machines and scrap metal.
Does it look like this tech is, like, scrapped mothership tech, or does it look like he's making it on his own?
It looks like he knows how to design his own tech, but that a lot of it is built out of scrap metal and stuff. And you know that, you know, they were able to, some fire giants were able to get the force cage capsules and stuff out of the automatons in the mountains and stuff like that. So you can imagine this dude probably is scrapping a lot of mothership tech and things like that on the from the outside. And you see, he brings you inside, and immediately inside, you guys see the glow of screens all across the room and hear the hum of machinery. You see that books are stacked high. These seem to be the law books and stuff that Winch is in the process of archiving. You see he has an enormous chair that leans back and faces a bunch of projection screens with a keyboard and some other devices attached to it. And pulled up, you see a bunch of directories that seems to be his, like, regular, like, day job stuff. And he also has video footage from his various probes that are going around, some of them going throughout the mines. And he also has some undersea ones that you see are going near the mothership Mega Sub.
Do we see anything interesting happening on those screens?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we all three sit in his chair at the same time?
Of course.
Yeah. Big chair. Amazing.
Yeah. You guys all rush in. Oh, excuse me, guys.
I call bottom.
Great.
Middle.
You guys stack up for some reason.
I got to go top.
You guys all sit down begin looking through some of this probe footage. And you look at the submersible, and it is less like a sub and more like kind of the giant air yacht that once hung over Ezri. It just looks, it's basically just like a giant underwater boat. At first glance, it almost looks like a shipwreck at the bottom of the ocean, but you do see that it is floating and it is operational. There are hundreds of windows and glass walls throughout, all lit up by Magitek lanterns and the glow of machinery. You also see powerful weapons, these big laser cannons and other attached submersibles that zip around the water nearby.
Is there like a city adjacent to this as well, like in Ezri?
No. Okay. This is you. I believe someone explained to you at some point when you guys first got to Irondeep that Jaina kept like a giant mothership HQ from being built in Irondeep.
Right.
And this is their way of getting around it. Is they're literally in international waters. And that's why there were transporters taking mothership employees to their HQ. So they've got this giant, essentially, base that's not technically under the rule of Irondeep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and you see Winch, as you guys are like relaying this and talking about this, goes,
"That's kind of what I'm concerned about, right? Mulskiriel and Irondeep are so concerned with each other that they're, you know, not checking in on this giant freaking underwater potential time bomb."
Winch, you have a good head on your shoulders, because honestly, yeah, we're on the same page here. This is a huge issue. We're very worried about it. We've actually been working with Boy Wizard and Ma Goblin. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Codename Ma Goblin, I have.
Okay, cool. Are you in communication with them currently?
We do have to close our channels so that we can't be tracked, specifically by Mothership, but I could send them an alert and we could probably open a channel within the next day or two.
Okay, yeah. If you could work on that, because I used to be in contact with Boy Wizard and the crew via toilet paper, but that was compromised.
Of course, just nods, know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I just...
The Rolodex.
You know, he knows!
Of course.
I give him a high five. Strong hand.
Super low five for him. Has to bend down. Years back crack. Oh.
If you could do that, we need to come up with some sort of like secure code name so that it's not intercepted in any way. But
great.
We're pretty good at coming up with
Saul Bufo?
Saul Bufo. No, yeah. No, I don't. Okay, maybe.
Great. You see, he types into a keypad. You see that there are previous messages between him and Boy Wizard and him and Ma Goblin. It looks like Albin and Ma Goblin are trying to track what's going on with Alexandrite and kind of the rogue AI that's down on the ocean floor, and clocked that this third party, Winch, was looking down. So kind of reached out and was like, "Hey, do you want to work together?"
Okay.
And it looks like from their communication, it looks like they've taken some of his footage that he's taken with his probes, and they're doing some type of scans or something with it, with their technology. But you see that Winch types in that he'd like to open a channel whenever they're available in the next day or so, and writes that in, and writes code name Saul Bufo.
Just rubs his temples. Right. Well, at least there won't be any confusion this way.
Right. So, sorry I couldn't tell you everything while we were out in the city, but there is some strange stuff going on in Mulskiriel. I wasn't a huge fan of King Ralos, but I'm even less of a fan of his brother, Prince Ekdar. So, Ralos was a young, angry king who was super headstrong. But he was also a warrior and a sort of a brave fighter in his own right. But Prince Ektar has always been sort of a fail son, try hard, a lot of bluster, and not a great person to have in charge.
So like Ralos would respect the rules of combat and maybe Ektar wouldn't.
Ralos is the type of person that would declare war on everyone and then go out and fight himself. And Prince Ektar is the type that would make a deal with a deity or somebody terrible or something to curse his enemies or give himself some kind of unfair advantage.
Speaking of deities and powerful beings, does the name Ultras mean anything to you?
We ran into a fire giant on the way here who referenced someone named Ultras.
I am aware of who Ultras is, sort of a legendary figure amongst the giants, but I did not know anything about him being.
Well, let me ask you another question in the same vein. Is there any sort of like new player on the scene at the court? Any sort of like advisor to the prince? Anyone like that?
Well, I think we can assume that something is going on behind closed doors because King Ralos died under extremely strange circumstances. The official story is that the monster in the mountain caused a cave-in at the fortress, but that seems a little convenient. It's quite strange that his brother would go out to capture the serpent only to return unharmed. Meanwhile, his older brother, who's a better warrior than him, is killed sitting at home.
And the timeline, it's all very fast. And you can't imagine Ektar would have this confidence without an ally. Mm-hmm. I think we can assume that Ultras and Ektar are working together.
Yeah.
I don't see any... there has to be some kind of explanation for how Ektar would be able to best his brother, because by any sort of conventional means, he wouldn't be able to do it without help.
Okay.
What does this coronation mean?
Well, Prince Ektar being in charge, he might just go after Iron Deep right now. He might command all of the giants to rise up out of the mountains and start raiding towns again or start raiding villages. I don't know exactly what he has planned, but Prince Ektar is not smart or good or tactical.
Okay. Give a picture of Prince Ektar just so we can like kind of like picture him in our heads.
You see he goes over, he types something up. You see a projection pops up of, you can assume when this information is updated and he's officially the king after the coronation, he'll have a bigger crown, but he's got like a little crown because he's a prince. It's in a ruby encrusted gold crown. You see he's got a long black sleeveless robe with gold inlay, and he's got powerful arms, but in kind of like a glamour muscle way. And long red hair and a long red beard. And is definitely like posing in a way where he's flexing. He's much, much more bodybuilder than powerlifter.
The sleeveless robe is kind of cool. We have to all admit that.
We have to all admit that. He looks pretty badass.
But he's kind of like doing like a three quarters angle to like make his biceps look bigger.
Yeah,
I think.
For sure. Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah,
he's
you can tell that someone's really been picky with light to emphasize contrast.
Right.
What does the king inherit? Like, is it just the power to dispatch armies, or is there an artifact that they inherit as well?
They don't. I'm sure there are, you know, various family heirlooms and things, but nothing exactly comes to mind. Okay. I think what Ektar would be looking for is power and recognition.
Yeah. Okay.
But I sort of told you what I couldn't speak out in public, but what brings you all to Mulskiriel?
Well, so you see this it's a dwarven page that's with us here. She's been very quiet because she's very respectful.
Hi.
She is.
I didn't just run up to your chair. Is it okay if I sit in a chair and maybe have a snack?
Oh yeah, do you have any ice water? Very thirsty.
The ice melts really quick, but I have some lukewarm water.
Okay, I have a high dexterity. I can probably drink it pretty quickly.
Right, goes over. Instantly melts as it goes in. But you gulp it so fast that it's just lukewarm instead of steaming.
Okay, I did get an ice cream headache.
Okay, mine evaporated.
Yeah. You see, Kenna has a little snack in the corner. It's very like organized with it. Has like two like big cookies and a glass of milk, and sits there and like very methodically like dips it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so she is actually the squire of... Actually, Kenna, can I reveal this or do you want to say this?
No. No, I'm not going to tell anybody.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
You see, she looks forward. I'm sorry, official Iron Deep business.
Yes, that's all you need to know. We are here to rescue our friend who is, last we heard, trapped inside the helmet of Ultras the demigod.
Oh, and you think Ultras is here, so you think your friend could potentially be here.
We thought he was here, and now that we see everything that's going on, I think we know that he's here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for not being super honest with you. My name is actually Bradley Daniels. I should have said that up top.
It's okay, Bradley.
We are also here because we heard from a fire giant who we laid to rest respectfully that the regent of Iron Deep was dishonorably captured.
Oh, I heard some rumors about that, but it hasn't been officially announced.
Yeah.
The rumors are real. This is confirmed fact.
You see,
if my name isn't Bradley.
Kenna crunches a cookie as she goes to dip it and just looks so mad in the corner.
Did she bring cookies for everyone or are those just for her?
They're my cookies. She asked for a snack and I give her a snack. You just have to ask for stuff. You guys just ran in my house and started going on my computer. Well, she's the only one acting normal.
I will. May I have a snack, please, Winch?
Of course.
Okay. May I have three cookies, please?
It gives you three giant cookies.
Do you have any Tostito chips?
Of course, but what would be a scoop to you is... what would be a scoop to me is restaurant size to you.
So it's like a tortilla bowl.
Exactly, ooh. Yeah.
Well, I'll take a taco.
The restaurant size... to you.
Right.
Wait, sorry. Restaurant size to me would be tortilla bowls to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so right. I will take a taco salad.
Okay.
And I would like one taco salad and then one Tostito scoop to sleep in later.
You are tough house guests. Goes over.
If we're doing Mexican, I'll do Crunchwrap Supreme.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Ooh, that'd be really comfy to sleep on.
I'll try, yeah.
Yeah. You see, Winch goes and gets to work.
If he goes to prepare that, I'll look at Kenna and say, I'm sorry, but I think that this is the most direct route to save Jaina.
I trust your instincts.
And she salutes you.
Didn't feel very sincere.
No, I just don't. I don't know whether I'm just a squire. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. I lie all the time. I just felt like this moment, like we could trust him.
Yeah.
There's a ticking clock here. We need to get close to Ektar before this coronation.
And I think we might need one ally.
Yeah.
In that case, if we're gonna trust him, we should probably trust him all the way. I don't know if we'll be able to get to the new king on his coronation day without some help.
Yeah.
Or some insight.
It does seem like Winch has a connection to the kingdom. He's like an archivist, so maybe he could smuggle us closer. I mean, there's probably going to need to be somebody there recording the events of the day. Maybe he could like pose as a cameraman and help us in.
Is there a reason that we have to do it at the coronation? That's what I was trying to suss out. Like, do we have a bit of time?
It just seemed like a good distraction, but I guess we could wait.
Yeah, I mean, we can. If you think my thought was that it would be everyone together and like maybe more likely that we would be fighting the whole city rather than...
Well, I guess like...
But I think as soon as he ascends the throne, he can issue a command.
Okay. All right. Coronation it is.
Yeah.
Pre-coronation. Maybe he's getting fitted for a suit or something.
You know he's going to be very particular about his fit.
As you guys are talking about this, Winch brings you guys your food and does overhear you guys talking and goes,
Well, I don't know if the answer is necessarily that you want to get him alone. You might want to get him in front of a lot of people so that you can essentially question his honor.
Oh, like invoke a trial of steel?
He points at you and he goes, that's not a bad idea, but you can't just, you know, walk up and demand a trial of steel to a member of the royal family or one of his counselors, but there is a way that you could earn that right. King Ekdar's coronation begins tonight, followed by a celebration tomorrow that includes duels and games, and the winners of those games can make a request from the king. And if you make a request publicly, the king would have no choice but to agree or else be labeled a coward.
I see.
If you were to invoke a trial of steel after being a champion of these games, gotcha, at a time when the king is really supposed to honor any reasonable request. Most of their requests are petty things, solving grievances between houses and things like that. If you were to use your platform to challenge the king, he would have to fight you himself or choose a champion.
Can I ask you, I mean, we're going to stick out a bit. Is there a cover to say why we would be here and, like, participating in these games?
This is all thrown together quite quickly, so official rosters have not been announced. We could sign you up tonight at the castle.
Okay. So are you saying that we need to come up with, like, jousting personalities?
That could help.
Pretend like we're a group of wandering champions who go around winning tourneys.
I'll be the joking jouster. I wear clown makeup and huge shoes.
I'll be the jingling jouster, and I'm covered in bells.
Oh, that's great.
That's really good.
And I, the juicy jouster, for obvious reasons.
Yeah, having some kind of alter ego isn't a bad idea. There's nothing that says that someone from Irondeep can't compete, although it might make you a target.
Huh. Can't imagine anybody ganging up on a clown and someone covered in bells and someone else covered in juice, I want to say.
The what was the name? The clown jouster?
The joking jouster.
The joking jouster.
The jingling jouster and the juicy.
Yeah.
The what about the jousting jester? Can I?
Yeah.
No?
As long as I can still wear the clown makeup, I'm down to for the name change.
You know what? Let's leave some work for the announcer, you know?
Right, okay.
Jousting jester is actually, it's actually phenomenal.
And I'll be the jewel-smoking jester.
Interesting.
You have vape.
Oh, vaping, yeah.
And I'm from the astral plane.
Right, yeah, you were telling me lots of stuff about it. Anyway, yeah, there is precedent for small folk being able to work together. Most giants wouldn't want to just do a duel with a much smaller opponent. There's really no glory in that fight. So it stands to reason that you might be able to have three or four of you on the same team.
Interesting. Oh.
Yes. Would our junior jouster like to join us? I point to Kenna.
Kenna is already at your side polishing your weapons and giving you a manicure saw.
Thank you. You gave me fingernails. Already. Incredible. Are these press-ons? They're fabulous.
You get an extra D4 of piercing damage when you...
Awesome. Okay. So we can just go up and sign up. There's no like shenanigans involved.
Like I said, a lot of these duels and stuff are between established knights, so they might give you a hard time, but technically there's no reason that you shouldn't be able to compete in something.
All right, let's go add our name to the list.
I just realized Maeve Haypenny is wanted, so I'm going to go Jennifer Skydays.
Jennifer Skydays.
Should we operate under one umbrella? Name,
interesting,
you know, like the jolly jousters or something
jolly
like
jousters
that,
is
because then we
good.
Have the jangling, we have the jester,
yeah,
we have
sort of a
junior,
a traveling troupe that fights giants.
Yeah,
this is the first time we've done it, but that is our mission.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's an announcement tonight. They're beginning the coronation tonight, and I assume you'll
That's
be able to sign up somewhere near
okay,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just need time to knit a pair of juicy shorts that I'm going to wear. It's part of my gimmick.
Knit two. We'll give you all the time you need.
Make it three.
This all gets to work.
All right. Well, should we get going?
Yeah.
That works for me.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. You see, Winch brings a little travel pack with him and begins sort of tweaking with Mouser, kind of rebuilding him. Oh. And you hear the beeps getting higher and higher.
Beep.
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 Beep. As he begins to like tweak it and get Mouser back up and running. And you guys see a huge...
Should be the Mouseketeers in honor of Mouser.
The Mouseketeers.
The three Mouseketeers. The four Mouseketeers.
I believe that's a copyright Disney property.
Well, you named it Mouse.
I named it Mouser. Mouser.
Mouser Tears.
Oh, Mouser's Castle.
Okay.
Okay. Just I already knitted the shorts is the thing.
I'm still down to wear the shorts.
All right, all right. Juicy Jousters it is.
They're
juicy.
Cool shorts regardless of the name.
Yeah, as you guys walk towards the Castle of Malskiriel, you see a huge migration of people. The mountain tremors with the marching of giants as they approach the gates of the Great Fortress. And as you get there, you see black iron twisted architecture. Every part of this building looks like it would cut you. Moats of popping magma, glowing orange waterfalls pouring out of the walls. Atop the castle is a balcony that looks out over the crowd. All around, there are banners of the new king's flag, a black gauntlet covered in flame set on a red and gold background. There are giant knights in gem-encrusted armor wearing his colors and trumpeters on the balcony preparing for the king's arrival. But down here, down on the ground level, you do see a bunch of people are celebrating. There are people like drinking in the streets and stuff. And you do see Ember, the little goblin, comes up to you guys.
Hey guys, a bunch of cups.
Oh.
Thank you, Ember.
So solid.
Yeah. I think I give him money.
Oh. Okay. I thought we were friends.
Well, you know, sometimes friends compensate.
Oh, yeah. You were, okay. Yeah. So I was started giving me money because like, I went and bought the beer.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
I got you guys a hot, to know that. Piping hot IPA. Drink it so fast.
Begins pouring out of like a kegerator that's on his back. And you see it begins like evaporating very quickly.
Oh, there's so much steam. Drink it quick.
This is boiling. I don't know if I...
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually like it like this.
Okay. How much damage do I take?
No fire damage. Oh, you guys are immune to fire damage while you're wearing the suits.
Oh, nice.
Oh, amazing.
But you guys do see that there are, outside of the gates here, outside of all these like celebrating people, you do see that there are tents set up with lines of knights waiting to register for the tournament.
I'm going to do a lap and see what our competition is.
Great. Mm. Go ahead and give me a perception check.
16.
Okay.
I'll join on the lap.
Great. Mm-hmm.
But I did roll a nat one, so I think I'm choking on the boiling
beer. Yeah, you're just trying. You're trying to be like casual. You're thinking like, oh, I don't want to get too drunk, so I don't want to drink it too fast. But now you just have boiling beer that is all of the alcohol is already burned off and you're just drinking burning water.
I also will say that I cast purify food and drink on our
beer. Great. Oh, okay, nice. So now they're regular just, fresh beers.
I stocked it today because I was feeling dodgy.
Great. I'll say the purify for these purposes, it makes the liquid regular liquid.
I'm going to give Callie guidance, but I am focusing primarily on painting the bronze worm to make it our mascot.
Okay, great. You start painting the bronze worm in the way of the Juicy
Jolly Jousters.
Juicy Jousters or Jolly Jousters?
Jolly Jousters.
Jolly, okay. Mm-hmm. It's a jolly on your pants.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Well, no, we all have our own unique branding under the jolly
got
umbrella.
It. Oh, you are the you specifically right. are the Juicy Jouster. Got
yeah.
it.
You know what I do is I paint the bronze worm like a fun color, and then I shape it into a J.
Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, Callie, you go ahead and you do a lap.
As I take my lap, I'm going to throw up a detect thoughts.
Yes.
Detect thoughts. Okay.
So I'm getting everyone's surface level thoughts. So if people are clocking each other, I'm getting the goss.
Great. Okay. A lot of the knights in line are... fighting for very petty grievances. You overhear in their head like a cacophony of things like,
I'm challenging Dizthos to a duel so that he'll have to take down that tower that blocks my view of the Lake of Fire.
Like, it's a lot. It's literally like a lot of disputes between noble houses and things like that.
I think that's all fun, and I want to like clock that. but I want to, if that's the norm, I want to try to listen to what's outside the norm.
Great. Okay. Most of it is these like petty grievances. And then there are a few people that are like, I want to join the King's Guard and prove myself, like put me against any of the best warriors. Like you overhear somebody saying that to the registrar. So you see that there are some people being set up in like tournament brackets where there's going to be like a champion jouster and things like that. There's some people that are just settling things between houses or people with old slights that are like, this family hates this family. And so their two strongest warriors are going to fight each other just for the sake of honor. Mm-hmm. And a very unusual one. You see an insanely ripped giant with just a bag over his head and an enormous chainsaw is talking to the registrar and is just wanna kill people.
Okay, that's a really good gimmick.
And the registrar goes, "Of course, place your name right here." And in his head, you hear him think, "Some more meat for the battle royale."
The registrar.
Registrar thinks that.
Oh. What is that? Is battle royale all the losers then fight in a battle royale?
You get the sense that outside of all of these duels and things like that, mm-hmm. knights of ill or no repute just get put in a giant battle royale.
Ah.
So this moron with a bag over his head and a chainsaw walks up and says, "I want to kill people." And this guy says, "All right, throw him in the battle royale."
Huh. All right. Well, we want to be in a bracket, right? We want to be working our way up so we can win a tournament. Yeah. We do not want to be in a battle royale.
Can I use this detect thoughts? I'm curious, since Calder is in Ultras' head, if I can try to like detect Calder.
Go ahead and give me a wisdom save, charisma check, or religion check.
I think that I want to, even though I only have a +1 to religion, I want it to be a religion check.
Okay.
I think I want to like reach into the starry serpent stuff.
Great. Give it to me with advantage.
That's a nat 1. And a 16 becomes a 17.
All right.
Callie, you see, as you make this religion check, Starfire begins to shed from the serpent onto this ice dagger that mm-hmm. Calder gave you. You feel it cools, and you feel it begin shifting in the sheath at your side, and
like
points
a dowsing rod.
Like a dowsing rod points towards the castle.
Okay, so he's in the castle. Okay,
all right.
Interesting. Okay, shall we go put our names in?
Yeah. You see, that Saul is planking on top of the serpent so that it looks like a capital J with a crossbar.
You guys wait in the line, and as you get into the front, you see this rich-looking, snobby fire giant looks at you guys and goes,
"Yes, how can I help you?"
"Good day, sir. We are the Jolly Jousters. We travel the land in search of jousts and challenges worldwide, and we are here to enter. What games do you have available?"
You see just closes his eyes as soon as he hears the name Jolly Jousters, and then opens them like a full minute later and goes,
"You small folk want to fight in front of King Ekdar at his coronation celebration?"
"Indeed."
"Jollily so."
"You think you're worthy of the coronation?"
"Yes."
"Yes, and even if we die and are trampled by fire giants, I think everyone will think it's pretty funny.
And it'll make them jolly. And we'll be jolly to go out in such a jovial fashion."
"That's a fair point." You see, as you say, like, us dying will be funny. He does, like, you see, he does nod and turns to one of the registrars next to him in, like, a different line. And they talk for a second. And then he looks back over you guys and goes,
"Well, most of the battles tomorrow will be duels between knights of high repute. I have not heard of the Jolly Jousters, but there is one fight that we might have a spot open for.
Right.
Folks like you.
What fight might that be?
Yeah.
It is a battle royale. 30 giants.
Oh, we were actually thinking it'd be way funnier if we just took on one person.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we were thinking of coming out in a big trench coat, pretending to be one big giant, and then revealing.
Here, look at this. Look at us do the jig. Here, everyone get on my shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
Get on the shoulders. Okay.
Everyone, as you guys get up for, for a really important performance check, I need a group performance check from everyone.
I give both of you bardic.
Okay, and I'm going to use commanding presence, which is a battlemaster maneuver at a superiority die to this.
Saul looks into the mirror of himself and sees Swag nodding at him. I got a dirty 20.
Nice.
And you also have a bardic hard one.
I don't know if I'm going to need it. I rolled a 32.
Whoa!
Whoa!
I am jolly. I am jovial.
I got a 24.
Okay, yeah. I'll say that you have borrowed some clothes from Winch, and you do stack yourselves in a trench coat, which is classic small folk appealing to giant humor. Even the stuffy registrar sort of snorts.
And Hard One starts river dancing. So
it's, but okay, Hard One is in the middle, so it's really disorienting. Hard One, so why are you moving around so much? I'm going to fall.
Go with it. Just go with it. Feel the music.
The registrar goes... Yes, I suppose you would be good for a laugh. All right, what were you thinking?
What were we thinking? I mean, I think like whoever you think needs a win.
All right, well, you see, he's a little bit charmed by you guys, and
like, who do you think is going to have kind of a boring fight, and this will bring some spice to it, make the audience go wild? Right.
Well, the Jolly Jesters, I know that you're a delight.
You know,
obviously.
We can bring the heat.
I know you can bring the heat. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, everyone in the arena is not going to know that, so I can't put you in like a high-profile duel or something like that.
That's fine.
I normally would put you in the battle royale because you are small folk, and I'd love to see you get crushed.
Mm-hmm.
But I could also put you in a tournament amongst hedge knights and other sort of lower ranked knights that are looking to make a name for themselves.
See, and that normally seems like it's going to be a filler round, but like when we're there, there's no filler, buddy.
We could use a comedy round in there. All right.
Great.
Okay, yeah.
We're in.
Great. Yeah, you see the registrar pencils you guys in as
Callie, shake his hand.
I lean all right, forward. Callie.
You're Callie, Saul.
The registrar nods and puts you guys down. The Jolly Jesters, team of small folk that are going to be in this tournament. And you see that there are seven other would-be giant knights or hedge knights that are just basically unaffiliated that either want to as sort of some kind of penance to sort of reclaim their honor, or as, you know, young knights or outside knights trying to get in good with the new royal family.
So wait, just to clarify, am I on the bottom?
I think so,
right.
Yeah.
Okay,
Frog's on the bottom, Hard One's in the middle.
Yeah, so we have frog feet.
Yes.
Can I lean in chummy-like to the registrar? Who are you rooting for us to get put up against?
Well, there is a rambunctious fellow named Iskar who has shamed himself by stealing kills, kind of just a violent, crazy murderer who was exiled under...
Did he have a bag on his head?
He did not have a bag on his head. That was someone who was...
Can I just ask you, because I'm not from around here, what's with the bag on the head?
Right. Is that guy weird to you?
That dude is strange.
I threw him
in the battle royale because I don't want to see what his deal is.
Yeah.
I want to throw
what
him in there.
What happens if he wins the battle royale?
He unfortunately will get to make a request to the king.
Okay.
So you're saying, I'm saying this through a muffled coat. So you're saying that if we defeat Exar, then that'll be like really funny because everyone will be like, oh, we got put in his place by a couple of small folk.
I stand there, please.
And will we get to make a request to the king? I say from the torso.
Should you win your tournament, yes, you can make a request from the king. And to me, I personally think it would be funny if Ixar would be to make penance by killing you. I think that would be kind of hilarious.
So this is a win-win.
And if we win, I'm thinking of making the request that the king consider me as a bride consort.
Saul shakes his hips.
Hilarious. You see, slaps his hand down on the table, laughing.
What was your name again?
Just so I can tell you a supervisor. Just
John Registrar.
Genre?
John Registrar.
Genre.
Just John.
John Registrar.
John
Registrar.
John, John Registrar. John Registrar.
John
Registrar.
That's a beautiful
call
name.
You call me JRS.
JR.
JR.
JR. Sure. Thank you so much. This has been, you've really shown us hospitality.
Yes, I thought, I mean, I really thought you were going to go in the battle royale, but.
Do you have a bride consort?
I have a wife.
Okay.
I don't know that I'd call her a bride consort necessarily.
You didn't. Yeah, you didn't win her via some sort.
I didn't win.
What's her name?
I didn't
that
win
lucky,
her. We just got married
that
normally.
Lucky woman.
What's her name, John?
I just have one more question for you though, because we do need.
She's Ross John Registrar.
Ross John RJ and JR.
We are getting away from the questions we need to ask though, which is, do we talk to you to submit our walk-on song, or is that going to be someone else? Because we are going to want all the small things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's hilarious. I was thinking the same exact thing.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Great. All right, so you've got that filed away.
Great, yeah. You
say hi to your wife.
And then where does everyone party the night before?
Just out here. Yeah,
just out here.
Oh, okay, yeah, you great. See, it is everyone's out there partying.
Yeah. Great,
And we've got cups already, so.
Do we get, like, little, like, armbands to be like, yeah,
like
we're in the tournament.
I'm sort of the registrar for, I'm the person you talk to about signups for the tournament tomorrow. I have so much work to do.
I know, you're just not doing a very
and
good job.
Asking,
there's a huge line behind us.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
and so I feel like you're not doing a great job. Anyways, do we
going
get to wear
to put
sashes?
I'm going to put you in the battle royale.
If you
keep talking to me, I'm going to put you in the battle royale.
I can't believe you do that to your bride consort.
But you're my bride consort?
Do you validate parking?
I do validate parking.
I just want to know in case anyone else parked.
Okay.
Yeah.
In case anyone else parked?
Just in case other people are parking, if anyone asks me, do they validate, I'd have to say I don't know, but now I could say yes,
yeah,
they do.
We're trying to help you right now. You have a huge line.
Okay.
We're going to set
you know
up
what?
An info desk.
I'm putting Chainsaw Bag Guy in the tournament with you guys.
Where's the bathroom?
I'm moving him from the Battle Royale to be in the first round with you all. Good day.
Okay.
Okay.
Good day.
Drink
Thank
tickets?
You.
You had to bring your own.
Do we get comps?
No.
Like for friends and family.
Right.
You get a comp.
Guest passes.
Saul starts walking away.
One comp.
Thank you.
Can I have Saul's?
Hey.
Yes. You Kelly, can have. You
Saul kicks two himself. Comps. I've got two comps.
No. As a team, you get
I've got
a comp.
Two comps. I'm selling two comps.
Hard one hitter
two
for me.
Comps.
You guys leave the line as you begin to hear trumpets going off, announcing the new king. You see the crowd stomps their feet on the ground, causing tremors. The entire cave, like the entire city, kind of rumbles as if there's like an earthquake from the stomping of giants. As you see the new king, Ektar, emerges onto the balcony, flanked by attendants. You see the king now wears this big, much bigger ruby-encrusted gold crown. He's got this like duster on with the gold inlay and the big, powerful arms. Long red hair, long red beard.
Curious, so we can't see his legs under that cloak.
Yeah, might skip leg day, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But you see he reaches his hands out, and with like the flick of these like magical bracers that he has on, creates this giant projection of himself that sort of hangs in the sky here. And after the trumpets finish, and there is there's some like murmurs amongst the crowd, and even a little bit of like heckling here and there, but mostly there are a lot of like cheers and things like that. And you hear his voice booming over the crowd go,
"Today, we mourn the passing of my beloved brother, King Ralos. But tonight, we celebrate the birth of new glory for the giants. I, King Ektar of Malskiriel, have captured the tiny tyrant and ended the era of Iron Deep."
You feel Kenna's hand is like clenches hard ones and Callie's.
Ooh, I steady her by my side.
Yeah, I put like a maternal hand on her shoulder.
And you see Ektar using some kind of magical device shoots up a magical projection of Jaina Bronzebeard trapped in some kind of prison, you see that she has her hammer out and is bashing it against a force field. Guys, go ahead and give me perception checks.
12.
22.
15.
I'll say hard one with a 22. You clock that even though this is basically like a close-up projection of Jaina being trapped in this demiplane, it's sort of like monocolor, like it's just sort of a red projection, but you see little like dots going by her, and hard one, you clock that as snow, and you have no fucking clue why there would be snow inside of like the force cage capsule that she was captured in. And Callie, I'll say with that perception check and your detect thoughts and stuff before, you feel the dagger at your side grow cold, and you can just see, like, in the foreground, another figure helping work to try to get out.
She's in the helm.
Hard what does everybody
one?
See?
Hard one.
The coat Salt. Is covering my vision.
Yeah, it's Salt at the bottom.
We have like a cannon string.
Also, where is Kenna? Is she like in the middle somewhere?
Kenna, I think, was next. I guess she could just
she's
be part.
She's the backpack.
She's the backpack. So she's just hanging on piggyback style.
Yeah, I relay. She's in the helm. She's with Calder.
What?
And you guys do see that based on everything that Calder has like told you guys, that he was always like on the one side of this force field. You see that Jaina's got this hammer that it looks like she is doing some work, but there's always new barriers that come up. So her and whoever she's with, you assume it's Calder if you're seeing snow there, are breaking down barriers, but new ones are popping up. But it looks like if they had a little help from the other side, that maybe they could get out without having to like fully kill Ultras.
Okay.
But as this projection of Jaina goes up, you hear roars amongst the crowd. People all go nuts at this. Like the idea that
absolutely try to steady Kenna. Kenna.
Why is everyone so happy? Why would everyone be so happy that a hero of IRD would be captured? Hold me back. Hold me back. Hold me back. Hold the backpack back. Hold the backpack back. Hold the backpack back.
Yeah. You see, the people who were kind of unconvinced by Ektar, this is like a huge win. It's like day one, we've announced that we've caught the monarch of Irondeep. Like insane roars from the crowd.
Can I see what Ember reacts?
Yeah. You look over at Ember, just kind of holds up a beer.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. I clap in front of myself, but I'm not actually connecting my hands. So.
He's doing.
I hold up in cheers, and then I pretend to drink it, but I pour it over my shoulder.
Okay. You pour it over your shoulders.
Pour one out for the queen.
And you see, Ektar continues. Let's go over the projection of Jaina, and just shows himself once again, lording over this crowd here. This giant projection. The crowd now going crazy, and he continues and goes.
But claiming the mountain is just the first step. We will sail north. We will march east. We will conquer continents and rule Bohemia. It is time for giants to rule the earth again!
Yeah,
and cheers go all up, all through the crowd.
Can I look at what Ember thinks about this?
Just... holds his beer up.
As long as I can come too.
Okay.
Giants and goblins rule the earth.
He cheers him again and throw it over
his shoulder. And Ektar continues and goes,
and now begins the fighting and feasting. Giant stands tall.
You look all around you guys at all of these giants all pounding their feet in lockstep as King Ektar exits the balcony. Beyond which, as you watch him, you see two cool blue eyes waiting for him in the wings. Oh, and that's where we'll end our session.
Fuck.
Target acquired.
So,
so we just got to do some quick Harlem Globetrotters-esque stunts to work our way up.
There you go. Yep.
Easy.
That easy. You can hear us talk more about this over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
We are.
Don't do it. Stop. No, that's not.
Fuck it. Let's go.
Don't do it. You can't do it. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug? Sorry.
The song. We are.
No, Emily.
The youth
Jake.
Of the nation.
Jake, what do you got?
We are.
All right, I'll say the things I got to plug. Okay.
Okay,
we've got some live shows. We've got September 13th, we'll be in Minneapolis. September 14th, we'll be in Madison, Wisconsin. September 15th, we'll be in Milwaukee. September 16th, we'll be in Chicago.
Oh, yes.
October 26th, we'll be in Los Angeles. October 27th, we'll be in Denver. October 28th, we will be in Sacramento. Portland, sold out. Sorry. November 10th, we'll be in Las Vegas. November 14th, we'll be in New Orleans. November 15th, we'll be in Orlando. November 17th, we'll be in Fort Lauderdale. And be sure to look out. Remember, October 7th, we have a big New York show, five-year anniversary show. We're going to
have... You'll see the details on Monday, folks.
All your faves and some live music.
Make sure you go online.
Go online
on Monday.
Go online.
Remember
on
to be on the internet, guys.
You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at CHMRSME, at Caldy's Caldwell, at AstroDemily, and you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. Well, look at that. It's time to thank our benevolent council of elders, and they are Brad D, Jeffrey S, Hugh C, later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Feared Al, Daniel G, Dungeon Mama, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Vincent W, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Ragnar Fairwind, TJ M, Trele, The Cray, Christopher B, Damiel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, A Wiggly Whittle Wifeworm, of course, Princess Yar, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, not currently starring in anything in solidarity with the WGA strike, and now the SAG strike too. Hell yeah. Samuel B., Mike H., Alka Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Panama James, Heradrian, Rex Thaniel the White, Diana DLL, CC Lulu, Timmy R., Lucas B., Rayco, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, hashtag CCC Forever, shout out to my fairy followers, Taylor B., The Vengeful One-Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Steven C., Mike K., Lady Taco, Jake L., Nick W., Swashbuckling Swag Snagger, William W., Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's, Frisbee Golf Bud, Anorama, Percival, Frederickstein, Von Muscle, Klawowski, De Rolo, The Third, Adam, The Simple Dimples, J. Dragonborn, Vincent Thrum As You Are, Daniels, The Sandrayan, Ben A., Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F., DPC Is Awesome, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbaldar, Summer Rose Grantaire, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C., Kel Slay, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Valacy Raptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L., Savexel, Lauren H., Talia, Ryan S., The Bone Duster, Ball Business, The Illustrator, Ploops, Carly A., Connor Savage, Salil, Leviathan, Bioquart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T., Jack H., Crabster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways, Towards Tomorrow, Afrex, Lindsay W., Juicy Kiwi, The Dressage Ducks Have Rebelled, I Repeat, The DDs Have Rebelled. I Need Backup. Static Dino Noises. Silence. Quack. Uh-oh. Sounds hairy. Valen. Carlin. C. Emily S. Noah. The Bagel of All Things. James G. Everything Bago. The Ladron who just wants to hang out with his pet badger. Stripey. Dandy. Eric B. Marcos. Learns the Balance. Druid. Dakota. JP. Frida M., Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed Fae, Prince, Until Halloween 2023, Stay Tuned. Ooh, interesting. Tracy P., The Crick Elf, Librarian, Andy E., Maggie S., The 2022 Spellcheck Champion, congrats to you. That's a It's a very tough game. Holly, Hyena, Kristen Z, Leah C, Hunter H, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash, Thakar, Dufinius, very nice, Cal, Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo. Yes, the whole thing. Yes, every time. Our friend Simon, searching our dreams for champions, singing one big bed and hoping his sleep isn't eternal. We all hope so. Keychains, Pentium 2, Processor, Lorelei the Succubus, and Kira, her busty queen. Your friendly neighborhood, Yant and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. Nope. Sorry, just promoted to mom and dad, baby Nadpole, coming December. Oh my goodness, congratulations. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg the mail carrier, manager, excuse me, of Bohemia, who has gotten promoted due to her superb service to Simon. Incredible, well-deserved. James F., M4L, Austin S., Wayfarer has now settled into their new life in the Fey Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Shane C., Barpo, Good Barrel, Bardbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Mary B.C., Melora, Devotee, Contender in the Making, Welsh Lander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana the Daisy, Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain, Gabrielle W., Box Clifton, the Once and Medium King, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mounting Crows. Godspeed. Winter Slade, Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is Like a Box of Martha Togold Sticky Buns, Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, Anthony, the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H., Mango Empanadas, Clementine T., Caleb L.S., Support Fairy Say Hi, hashtag Calder Will Come Cold Again, Alex R., Bunker Master, Player Disaster, Cantrip Dumbledore, the Bear Onesie Wearing Barbarian, MJ, the BFG, Drinking Tea, By the Sea, Dogs of Babel, Calvius Silverfang, Gino T, Mama Bell, the Silver Serpent herself, nom 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 nom. That's how she eats too, is what they say. Very nice. Funeer, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D, Tristan G, Leon K, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign. Congrats to you, Leon. Jazzman and fam, Pawpaw's elite team of lawyers currently representing Emily in the case of Yabba Dabba Do. No, sir. Yabba Dabba Do Not. Alex K, Joshua P, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La Pamela Sandra hyphen Rita, Emma S, Red the Reforged, Warforged, the Godly King, Hard Ones, Hot Hump Gunk, Shell B now made it to 2019, chasing the two crew back to 2023, avoided the honey trap and smoked a bowl with Alanis. Okay. Jake S, Stale Bread on Salad, aka Crouton, Jackson R, T3RHX, Michelle, Andrew S, Nova B, the Deathcore Bard, Caitlin D, Z Borb, Blake H, Big Bev's Bestie, Lloyd, the rat that controls my cerebellum, Opa Remy from Ratatouille style, Shelby C, Pawpaw Sky Days, Meemaw Sky Days, Haley the Human, Lord Damon, Duke of the Dungeon, and of course, Megan N. Thank you, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.